Our Old Testament reading for this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 7, and it is found on page 623 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Our New Testament reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 21 and 22. And that is found on page 889 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son. With thee I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we just finished installing and ordaining some of the officers and leaders who will be leading us as a congregation for the next year. And again, we give God thanks for each and every one of them and for the particular talents and gifts that they will bring to their respective positions as elders and deacons and trustees. Many of you are aware that being a church officer is not for the faint of heart. It takes commitment, dedication, patience, strong measure of spiritual maturity. In other words, it is a calling by God to the particular vocations of elder, deacon, and trustee. The fact is that many of us, many of you, are called to a good many vocations. Some of you are called to be good parents and good spouses. Some of you are called to be teachers and musicians. Some of you are called in your various career positions. Whatever you are called to do, you should do all of it to the glory of God. But the fact is that whether you are ever called to serve as an elder or a deacon, or whether or not you are called to serve in any other capacity, the fact is that as baptized members of the people of God, you are all called. You are called as sons and daughters of God. You heard that call at your baptisms. This Sunday is the Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and I wanted to talk just a little bit about being called. All of the gospel narratives tell us that Jesus' ministry begins at his baptism by John the Baptist down at the River Jordan. We remember John during Advent when he came preaching a baptism of repentance. But Jesus isn't baptized because he needs to repent of anything. Jesus is baptized in an act of solidarity with all of us sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. The gospel writers want us to know from the very beginning that if you are looking for Jesus, if you are looking for God's presence, that you will find him with sinners, with desperate and broken people clamoring to be forgiven, because these are the people that he has come to save. Big sinners and little sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, bankers and lawyers, Jesus is baptized right along with all the rest of us. He comes in our midst to be with us and to save us. But the most important thing that the gospel writers tell us about Jesus' baptism is that it is here at his baptism that the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he hears the divine voice declare that he is the Son of God, in whom God is well pleased. In other words, before Jesus is called to do anything else, before he is called to heal anyone, before he is called to forgive anyone, before he is called to die for anyone, he is first called the beloved Son of God, in whom God delights. Those of you who are parents, of course, know the feeling. You love and delight in your children not because they are straight-A students or because they are star athletes or because they have aced the leading role in the school play, but you delight in them and love them simply because they belong to you. And that is what Jesus hears at his baptism. He hears that he is the beloved Son of God, in whom God delights. What belongs to Jesus by right, of course, is granted to you and me by God's grace. At our baptisms, we too are declared sons and daughters of God. Adopted sons and daughters, to be sure, but loved by God all the same. We are claimed by God. We belong to God. We are called sons and daughters of God. Before God calls us to be anything else, before God calls us to be elders, before God calls us to be deacons, before he calls us to be teachers, before he calls us to be good husbands and good wives, good parents, before God calls us to do anything else, he first calls us his beloved children. Our first call, our baptismal call, is one that simply loves and names who we are, beloved sons and daughters of God. It is said that the great reformer Martin Luther, whenever he felt overwhelmed or inadequate or unworthy, he used to pat himself on the forehead and say to himself, "Remember, Martin, that you are baptized." And I think that's an exercise that we should all practice from time to time. To remember not only that we are baptized, but to remember what that means. That through our baptisms, we too become beloved children of God. I can still literally remember my own baptism. I was 12 years old, and our former pastor had come back from Topeka, Kansas to lead a revival, and he had came by our house to invite us to the revival, and he saw me there in the living room, and he asked me how old I was, and I responded that I was 12 years old. He said, "Boy, have you been baptized yet?" And I replied, "No, I had not been baptized." And he said, "Well, I think this is a time for you to be baptized." And so the following Sunday, me and my two brothers came forward to be baptized. There was a baptismal pool in the sanctuary, and we were dunked or immersed in water, which is how we did it in the Church of Christ at the time. And when it was over, we were informed that our sins had been washed away and that we had a whole new slate. We had a clean slate. And the preacher warned us, "Don't go and dirty up your slate again." I wish I could tell you that my slate remained unsullied, but you would know better than that. Part of the reason we say a prayer of confession every Sunday is to remind ourselves of our constant need of God's forgiveness and our failure to live up to what God has called us to be. But the good news is that the same Spirit who came upon Jesus at his baptism, the same Spirit that enabled him to love and forgive his enemies, the same Spirit that empowered him to live freely for God and fully for other people, the same Spirit that led him and enabled him to be obedient even unto a cross, that same Spirit is also on each and every one of us, empowering us and enabling us to live as the sons and daughters of God that God has called us to be. My friends, this morning you are called. You are called as God's sons and daughters. You belong to God. God has laid God's claim upon you. You may not be an officer in this church. You may not be a leader in this church, but you are called. You may never be in charge of the property and grounds of this church. You may never be a trustee in this church, but you have been called. At your baptism, you were called a son and a daughter of God. At your baptism, you should have heard that God delights in you, that God is pleased with you, that God loves you simply because you are you and simply because you belong to Him. You are called. I broke down the other night and went to see the movie Les Miserables, which opened on Christmas Day. The movie is based on Victor Hugo's classic novel by the same name. And I didn't think I would like the movie because it's a musical and I'm not very keen on musicals, but I was pleasantly surprised and thought it was a wonderful movie. But those of you who are familiar with the story know that the main character, Jean Valjean, goes through a kind of baptism by fire. After being paroled from 25 years in prison for stealing bread, he is welcomed into the home of the local bishop, who gives him a place to stay out of the cold. But Valjean returns the bishop's kindness by sneaking out in the middle of the night with more than a few of the bishop's valuables. He is later caught with the items and returned to the bishop, but the bishop refuses to press charges against him and send him back to prison. Instead, the bishop forgives him and calls him a brother, inferring that Valjean is no longer a prisoner, but that he is a child of God. That act of naming and calling had a profound impact on Valjean. For the first time in a long time, he no longer sees himself as a criminal, as Inspector Javert sees him, but he sees himself as a child of God, and he begins to live into that definition of who he is. Friends, you too are children of God. You too are loved by God. And God wants us to live into that definition, that new identity of who we are. The world around us, of course, would have us to forget who we are. The world around us does not want us to identify ourselves as children of God, as sons and daughters of God. The world around us wants us to believe that we belong to the categories of the world. They would have us to believe that our primary identity is that of a consumer, or that our primary identity is that of what we do, or our primary identity is something that the rest of the world thinks ought to define us. I was talking to a person the other day who has been unemployed for a long period of time, and he began to see that as being his primary identity, that he is someone who is not capable of being employed. Perhaps there are some of you who have identified yourself and defined yourself by what empowers you and addicts you. Perhaps you believe that your primary identity is that of an alcoholic or that of a drug dealer. There are some people who believe that their primary identity is someone who cannot be relied upon because they have heard that time and time again in their lives. There are those who believe that their primary identity is someone who is not very smart or someone who is not very intelligent because again and again that is what they have heard. But when you come here, when you come to this place, you will hear something else about who you are. You will hear the truth about who you are. When you come to this place, what you will hear is that you are a child of God, loved by God. God delights in you. We all fall down. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. None of us can stand before God on our own virtue, on our own righteousness. We all make mistakes, but the good news is that at your baptism, God has called you son and daughter, and that God delights in you. You are a child of God. No matter what anyone else says, no matter what you might believe about yourself, no matter what the rest of the world might have you to believe, no matter what the people in the advertising sector might constantly pump out to you, no matter what the authorities might say about you, no matter what your family might say about you, you are a child of God. You belong to God. In his book, Craddock Stories, the preacher Fred Craddock tells about an evening when he and his wife were eating in a little restaurant in the Smoky Mountains. An elderly man heard that Craddock was a preacher, and so he came over to introduce himself, and the man indicated that he had grown up in that area all his life. He said that his mother, when she had him out of wedlock, and no one knew who his father was, and the shame that the community directed towards her was also directed towards him. Whenever he went to town with his mother, he could feel the scorn of people staring at him, trying to figure out whose boy he was, who his father might be. In school, the man indicated that he often felt alone and was teased by the rest of the children because he didn't have a daddy. In his early teens, he began attending a little church, but always left before the church was over because he was afraid that somebody might ask him what a boy like him was doing in church. But one day, before he could escape, he felt a hand on his shoulder, and it was the minister. The minister had never noticed him before, and the minister looked at him and said, "Whose boy are you? Who's your mother and your daddy?" And the elderly man said when the minister asked him that, he was horrified because he didn't know who his father was. And he began to stutter. And then the minister looked at him again and said, "That's all right, son. You are a child of God. That's who you are. You're a child of God, and I can see the resemblance in you." And then the minister swatted him on the bottom and said, "Now go claim your inheritance." The man said that he left the church that day a very different person. In fact, it was a whole new beginning of his life. Fred Craddock asked the man what his name was, and the man said, "My name is Ben Hooper, and I was the former governor of Tennessee. As a small boy, no one had ever put much faith that I would be much of anything. And I never put much faith in myself that I would be much of anything. And then one day, I heard that voice to tell me that I am a child of God. I belong to God. And because I belong to God, I knew that I could do anything. That I could be anything." My friends, this morning, you are a child of God. Go claim your inheritance. Don't let anyone else belittle you. Don't let anyone else tell you what you can't do. Don't let anyone else box you in. Claim your inheritance. You are a child of God. You are loved by God. God delights in you. Don't forget your calling. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget that you belong to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, again we give you thanks for your loving mercy in our midst. We give you thanks for calling us. For calling us various positions in the church, for calling us to serve you and to serve each other, for calling us as deacons and as elders and as trustees, for calling us as ministers and Sunday school teachers and musicians, and most importantly, for calling us your sons and your daughters. Be with us. Empower us with your Spirit. Help us to live into that identity that you have made possible for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray here this morning. Amen.